Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Birdie, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. One of the most powerful ways to communicate with your audience and drive sales to your offer is to host webinars. Webinars allow you to create an incredible experience where you can have many attendees sticking with you for several hours as you teach them, empower them, and then promote your offer at the end. They are really one of the most powerful ways to drive sales. And in many of the affiliate programs I'm in, they say that the webinar day is the big day to promote to drive sales. So how do we host our own successful webinars so we can drive our sales? Well, that's what this episode is all about. Today's guest is a webinar and virtual training consultant who has been developing and delivering webinars and virtual training over the last 15 years for Fortune 500 companies and for several startups. As the original webinar presenter, trainer, and technical writer for GoToWebinar and GoToTraining, she's delivered over 1,000 webinars and reached over 30,000 customers. This inspired her to develop highly interactive learning experiences for customers, and her colleagues now dub her as the webinar guru. Today's guest for episode 131 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Karina Barr. Karina, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Likewise, it is such a pleasure to talk with you.
It is a great pleasure to have you on the show, and I really look forward to diving into the webinars. But before we do that, I'd love to get some backstory. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, why did you get started with webinars?
Yeah, it wasn't something that was necessarily intentional. And I had two turning points in my career. And one was a long time ago in 1998. I was working for Comerica Bank. And through a series of events, walked into the VP of Learning and Development at the time, who just got hired. And I walked into her office and said, "Hi, I'm Karina Barr. I want to work for you." And she laughed and said, "Oh, okay." And so I really started out in my career in learning and development. And I'm classically trained in instructional design and corporate training, in-person instruction. And then the second turning point where where I sort of morphed like what I was doing at the time and kind of going on this journey is in 2005, I started with Citrix Online, which is now LogMeIn. And they were the makers of GoToMyPC and GoToMeeting. And so I started there, technical writing. I developed all the training content for customers and I did demos and trainings and all of that, video tutorials. So when GoToWebinar and GoToTraining came out, and it's a startup environment, which I love, love, love startups, you get to wear a lot of different hats. And as long as you raise your hands, you know, you can participate in a lot of different things. So that's really how I got started. And I know marketing needed some help at the time. The marketing department was saying, you know, we don't have a lot of bandwidth here. And, you know, can you do the webinars for the demos for GoToWebinar? And I said, sure. But I thought, excuse me, if I'm going to do them, I'm going to do them my way. And I really drew from my instructional design background because I was so excited about these products. I really wanted to help our customers understand you know, how that these products would really help them. So I didn't want to just do a demo. I really turned them into training sessions and I made them interactive. I unmuted audio and like nobody else was doing that. And so I started getting a following on social media. I didn't have my own website or anything. And people were connecting with me on LinkedIn and Twitter. And I went, oh, okay, so there's something to this. And our survey results sort of started to skyrocket because they were like, this is like one of the best sessions I've ever attended. And all I did was teach them. So over time, as I, you know, started thinking, you know, I really want to help coaches and consultants with this because organizations have their own marketing team that, you know, create all kinds of content. They reach out to prospects, they have sales teams. And as a coach and consultant, you're that one man, one woman show. So we need to optimize you know, where we can. And so that's really where this approach came from, because I know it works. And I thought, oh, well, you know, there's so many coaches and consultants, they don't like selling. They don't like the pitch. That's just a style. And it works for a lot of people. And there are a lot of people out there that they are really uncomfortable and they don't like doing it. They've avoided doing webinars because they just don't feel comfortable with that style. And so I'm offering an alternative, to something that's a little more natural. When you're a coach or consultant, you automatically are educating. So let's optimize that.
And from that starting point, you've since then been able to conduct over 1,000 webinars. And it's interesting how you emphasize teaching within the webinar. I mean, I've heard some strategies where the webinar is more a myth busting and a leading into the product. So how do you provide that educational atmosphere while still driving sales for your product?
So I think there's a lot of confusion out there that's been happening, that marketing is selling. And marketing is not selling, it's building relationships. And you've heard it, that people need to know, like, and trust you. So I think that, that style works for people who are in sales and marketing, and they kind of, go into this pitch. And I think it's unnatural for a lot of people, and it turns people off. So what you're going to do instead is really create what I call workshop webinars, and you're turning it around. You're turning the focus onto your participants. It's not on you and how you started out living in a cardboard box and made 6 figures in 3 months. So now join my program to learn how. It really forces you to focus on your audience 100%. And it means you're going to learn about, you're going to teach them about something they want to know. You want to create an environment where they are engaged with you, actively engaged, and where they are learning one or more things, where they have that transformation in your session. Because when they have success, they're like, I can learn from this person. I need to go into the next step, with this person. So sign up for their program. Whether you decide that you want to make your offer at the end, or if you want to send a follow-up email and say, if you liked what you learned, there's more of this. And here's something I'd like to offer you. And it really takes the pressure off people, because they're just doing something that's natural to them, which is teaching.
And I do like the natural sense. It's not like you're following a script. You're just sharing what you know, which is something that you would want to do anyway, assuming that that's something that you're doing, do videos, blog posts, podcasts, or anything like that. But
right.
It's not like an obvious script where it's like intro and then this and that and then boom, product.
Correct.
So,
right.
Is there still a structure to these types of webinars? Like, is there still an approach, a specific approach, or is it more freestyle?
I focus on a high level process that we use in instructional design. So you are going to not necessarily use a formula. There's some freestyle involved, but there's definitely a skill set that needs to be learned. So you need to understand some basics in, adult learning theory, and, get creative in the webinar environment with how to create that interaction in really creative ways, how to help your participants stay focused on your, on your event and what's happening. Cause it's like, I read articles and I get them in my inbox, or I'm just curious to see, how other people are kind of approaching webinars. And so I keep hearing this line about, well, right now, only 40 to 50% of people, actually join your session. And so they'll say, because people don't have time and they don't. Well, it's a lot of variables, but the big thing is this style is so, it's so boring. And people, I'm not joking. Like, I see discussions online on LinkedIn with like direct marketing directors who are going, it's dead. I don't think it's dead. I think, webinars and people showing up, that you know, it's just not happening anymore. But here's the scenario. Imagine if you were going to a conference and you were going to go see a keynote speaker or go into a breakout session. You walk into the room, there are 100 empty seats, and you sit down, and then a voice starts speaking, and there's a presentation at the front of the room, and you hear a voice clearly, and you're like, wow, I'm not sure they know I'm here. But okay, like, this is pretty good information. It's all right. And then you start thinking, you know, I'm just going to check my email and my social media while I'm sitting here. And then at the end, you think, you know, that was okay. But the next time I get invited, I'm going to sign up, but I'm just going to wait for the recording because there's no real value of me actually showing up. And that is what's happening in the webinars. And it's been happening like that for a long time. So people are always looking for the purple cow, like now it's video, like sharing webcam. Not necessarily. That's just a feature. So we really need to look at how do we create, really good content. And it cannot be just about you, the speaker. It has to be about your participants because you're losing them.
I'm really liking this different approach to hosting successful webinars and all the planning associated with it. But as you mentioned a little more towards the beginning, there are people who they're not doing a webinar. In some cases, it's because they don't want to make that pitch. Like, we don't want to pitch, for instance. So how do you recommend, obviously, some people, it's not the pitching. So in that case, like, how do we start hosting webinars and removing that mental block that is holding us back from hosting our first webinar, sticking strong with that habit?
Yeah, I think, and I'm not sure if this will answer your question, but I think sometimes we get tripped up on what exactly we should be present, like what content should we really be giving. And so you might look at your entire whether it's a coaching program that you have, you know, or any of your courses, like your larger courses, whether it's self-based or not. And you, when I work with my clients, I would really look at, so how can we take a piece of that to give our participants some insight on what it's like to work with you and what they're going to experience and what kind of successes they potentially can have with you. Because that's where we want them to get excited and motivated. And if all they're doing is sitting and listening to you talk, I think you're really losing out on this. You have them right there. Like, you could unmute audio and do one-on-one coaching. You could do role play. You could have them create an action plan and get feedback. Like, really find out some information on the people you want to work with. How would you even know? I get follow-up emails that say, this webinar just blew out of the water and it was a great success. How do you know? There was no survey. You didn't answer any of my, you didn't take any of my questions. How do you know? And here you have this opportunity with a captive audience and you're not even going to ask them, you know, questions or find out what their, you know, what their individual problems are and see if you can coach them right there. It's such a great opportunity. So that is really built into this idea around, what a workshop is like. A lot of people have done in person, whether it's through a company or, you know, even some, college and classroom kind of thing. So how do we create that in this virtual environment? And then kind of piggybacked onto that is I teach how to create those VIP online training programs. So it's like an add-on or in addition to if you're doing self-paced courses. And there's some real value in charging a premium for those.
And I mean, there's so many different ways that we can utilize webinars. And I love the idea of making it a premium. Like, I'm thinking now, because as a host, I learned so much from all these interviews. I'm actually thinking of doing a webinar series now and putting them all into a vault afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I have that idea flowing through my head at this moment. But one of the most important things we could do for our webinars is attract attendees. And there are plenty of ways to do it, JV promotion, social media, email list. But how do we attract attendees to a recurring webinar where it's the same presentation every week and we want to continue to still get people for that second webinar, the third webinar, and so on?
So I'm not sure. I mean, if you are going to do a series, is that what you're asking? Like a series, or are you talking about the same content?
The same content.
I think the same content is probably difficult. And I think that goes, you know, you look at your planning where you're going to say, and this is what happens too, is this knee-jerk reaction. Like, well, I know I have to do webinars, and well, I think I'll just do this. And then, you know, oh, I've got like a few weeks to do some promotion, and then I'm going to launch it. And I think if you can look at your year coming up and say, all right, you know, let's do a plan here and really build the content one on top of the other. You know, and then you're really providing value. I mean, that's pretty great. And I've had, you know, there's some people I follow who do that. And you can also charge like a small fee for those. Those might be, you know, these are my $39 webinars. They're going to be 90 minutes. I'm going to give you great content. You're going to have this worksheet that we're going to work through some things. And then, you know, you lead them into the next one. But, you know, hopefully at some point it's because you do want to lead them into your bigger programs, whatever that may be, or your one-on-one coaching. I think if you're going to do the same content, then that gets into the space of where you probably have to hustle to constantly get, you know, new people in there. And regardless of how you do that, you know, in your promotion, whether it's like, you know, social media or your email list and that kind of a thing. So, you know, I look at webinars as there are the free ones, and that's a lot. I'm sure you see this all the time. Free webinar. Well, that's kind of a given. So you can change that and say, join my workshop. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into also your landing page and really helping people understand, if you're going to do it the way I teach it, is really help them understand the value and, you know, what they're going to gain and the transformation they're going to have afterwards. The other kind is where I just mentioned small fee, like $39, $59, $27, whatever. And then you can lead into even bigger things, which are these, you know, VIP training sessions. So does that answer your question?
Yes, because I mean, all this optimization with like the landing pages, for instance, is very mm-hmm. important. And I could see like if you're doing the same presentation over and over again, there's more hustle, because if you're mm-hmm. doing it in a series where each one's unique, then you could promote to the same audience continuously, because you know they're going to, it's new content, so you get returning attendees. So I find a power within that approach. And I know that you've done some great work with GoToWebinar, and there are some free ways to host webinars. There are some paid ways like Webinar Jam. And I'm wondering, what's your take on that? Do you feel like we need to, there's a certain tool we need to be investing in, or are the free alternatives good for what we want to do with webinars?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And it's one that I get a lot. And I think that also causes some frustration, because people are like, well, which one should I use? And, you know, and they're concerned about time and money and all of that. And so I really direct people to first figure out their content and how they want to engage their participants. So I think that's the most important. And if you enjoy speaking through webcam, then a lot of people like that. They like that sort of stage presence a little bit. And if you enjoy that, by all means, you know, definitely you want to do that. But, you know, you want to look at things like, I would love for them to have a worksheet that they could look at beforehand, or I would love to, you know, so you just kind of want to think about your goals and what you want. And then I am putting together a checklist, actually, that I want to, you know, provide as a free download, where are the questions that you should be asking when you research different, you know, different platforms. I would say that right now, most platforms are pretty much the same. I mean, they're pretty much offering the same thing. There might be some slight differences in terms of obviously the automation, where you've got your, where you're really doing the automated webinars. I'm personally not a big fan of those, but I get that, you know, those work, and, you know, there are people who teach that and they really like it. So, and I think sometimes then it gets into pricing, you know, and there are, you do get what you pay for. So the ones that are more expensive, you are going to get a lot more bells and whistles. So I would say that, you know, start out with the the ones that are on the lower end and free. I haven't used Zoom, but I always recommend that one because I've heard great things about it. I think that works really well. And maybe Demio. That's actually the other one I would recommend. And as you kind of start really getting comfortable with this process and you look at your budget, your budgeting dollars for this kind of thing, then at that point, start looking into, is it of value, for you to purchase something that's got a little bit more horsepower under the hood with some, so for example, like between GoToWebinar and GoToTraining, because GoToTraining is usually for training organizations. I love using that as a webinar though, because the features are so interactive, and GoToWebinar is great for kind of these larger events. You can have like tons of people in there. But like, there's no chat, for example, there's just a Q&A. So it doesn't, I like having my participants see other questions and comments. I want them to feel like they're not out in some, they're not out in webinar space. I want them to feel like they're in a room with other people, with other like-minded people. So those are just the things that I have people look at. Support, what is the support like? How easy is it to onboard? Like, do they have video tutorials? How easy is it to access help files? Because people have different levels of comfort, right, with technology. And some people are like, I'll figure it out. I'll just click on some things and, and do that. And other people really start to panic and think, I need to have a video. I need someone to show me, that kind of a thing. So those are some of the things that you want to look at. And I just love the ones I use, but I have no problem with it. I think there are just a lot of different options and that's good.
Karina, thank you for sharing with us those different options. And that budgeting is something really big, because some of these options are hundreds of dollars a year. Others of them are completely free. And you don't want to start with the really expensive version if you don't know what you're doing right away. I'd recommend dipping your toe in before you use one of those expensive versions, because it's a lot of, you do want to be careful of the budget that, and how you do spend your money, because a dollar spent one place could be a dollar spent somewhere else. And one of the things that I find fascinating about goals like hosting webinars, in your case, doing over 1,000 webinars, is that we all have this idea of what we want to become and what we want to achieve. But some of us may feel a little stuck between where we are now and where we want to become. So I'm wondering, what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
In terms of doing their full potential and like providing these webinars?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think it's two things. It's either the discomfort with the technology. And so it just feels very complicated, and really it's like learning any other skill set. I mean, if you can figure out how to do things on your smartphone, just think about it. Well, this wouldn't apply to you probably, but to those of us who, I was a radio DJ in college. Are you kidding me? That was like way before, that was way before the internet. And I always joke that was my first webinar. Because I had to speak to an audience I couldn't see. I had to use my voice. I had to, adjust multiple dials, speak into a microphone, maybe click on some buttons because I needed to do, play some of our little ads. And then I had to queue up multiple records. So it's that kind of if you can figure out some things, some basic things about your smartphone and things like that, it's just a matter of taking it one step at a time, and then learning the once you decide on which platform, taking those steps to learn that. And I think the other thing really is understanding what your, like you said, sort of what your goal is, and writing down what your vision is. What would I like my participants to experience? How do I want to feel in that? How do I want to interact with my participants? What kind of relationship do I really want to build here? And how can I make this an opportunity to really connect with my participants? And at the end of the day, if you need technical support, obviously I do this thing, and I do this as part of my services. But You can also hire a virtual assistant because there are a lot of virtual assistants out there who have some knowledge, and they'll at least be able to take the technology off your plate and do that backup and troubleshooting. And you can focus on the presentation. And then lastly, I would say, you know, just start slow. So, you know, build your skill set. So your first webinar, maybe a little bit more about you talking and presenting, and maybe you're not ready to mute audio in your first event, and that's totally fine. So then build on that. And then maybe the second webinar, you're going to say, okay, this time I am going to add one more thing, right? So I might unmute one person, or I might share my webcam. And so just build your skill set. And, you know, don't just jump in and try to figure out, you know, too many things at the same time. And I think that's a healthy approach.
Karina, that was some really awesome stuff on what is holding us back with the webinars. And I do feel like people, they want to try and figure out everything all in that moment. Like, you got to take it one step at a time. I like to see this with social networks where you're trying to master all of them instead of just focus on like just two of them and figure out how to grow on those. And if we just focus like that, it's easier for us to make that natural progression. But as we do face that natural progression, challenges are going to meet us. We've all faced challenges. I feel like anyone has their share. But I'm wondering if you could share with us one of the big challenges you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
So my very first with Citrix at the time in 2005. So one of my first customer demos that I had to do was on GoToMeeting, and, you know, GoToWebinar, I don't even think it was an idea yet. So I had to do it using that technology. And I'd used WebEx before, but it was in-house customer training. It was a really bumpy road at the time. So this was the first time I was really doing it customer facing. And I had practice and practice. I had a lovely manager who was still a dear friend of mine. And she was so patient with me. And then the night before, I was tossing and turning, and I thought, how on earth did I convince these people to hire me? Like, I don't even, what am I doing? What, like, I had total stage fright. And I thought, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to do this. And so I, went through the motions, and I finished an hour training in like 35 minutes. And so we were afterwards, and I sort of said, oh, so we're already done. And I had asked my manager who was on the call, and I said, so that was kind of short. Did I skip some sections? And she said, yeah, you kind of skipped some sections, but that's okay. Like, you know. So I think the thing about that is your audience, they don't know what they don't know. So it's not like they necessarily knew that training was supposed to be an hour. It's not the end of the world. And any time where you're not sure, like maybe you're kind of fidgeting and you're thinking, oh my gosh, like, where did I put this document? And you feel like you've got all these people essentially digitally looking over your shoulder while you're trying to find it. I think sometimes in those cases, because your audience doesn't know what's going on, you just are, you know, honest and genuine. And you say, you know what, I've just had a brain fart. So I'm going to pause this section. How about everybody take 2 minutes to kind of stretch? And I'm going to look for this whatever, right? So that's just an example of people like that, that feeling that they're with you in the room. And they don't necessarily need to have this formality that has become, what webinars are. Like, it's just very staged. And I just think that, you know, people can loosen up a little bit, and that's okay. So when you start out, do not be afraid that you might flub, or don't be afraid that you could unmute somebody and all of a sudden there's a parakeet going off in the background. Pets love to be vocal for whatever reason, yes. During events, they love it. So you just kind of work with that, and you have a laugh, and, you know, you just move through it. So people, it's sort of like when you look at when you fly and there is turbulence, and at least for me, I'm like, oh my God, we're totally going to die now. And then I look, I look at the flight attendant and she's like, would you like 7-Up or Coke? And I'm like, oh, okay. She's fine. I'm fine. So it's that kind of a, you know, that kind of a feeling that you want to give in your session. If you're going to do these more, you know, more open where you're really including your participants. So that would be my kind of my learning lesson, because I've never forgotten that. And then to circle, to kind of close that loop, funny enough, I'm an author for LinkedIn Learning. And what they asked me to do was a course on GoToMeeting. So on LinkedIn Learning, I do have a course on GoToMeeting 2016 Essentials Training or something like that. And I just thought it was so perfect and a little hilarious that, you know, for doing my first one that totally had me freaked out. And now I actually have authored a course on it.
Well, the important thing is that you didn't let that first experience stop you. You continued right on, and you weren't afraid to make a mistake. You admitted the mistake also. I mean, I feel like most of us, we just want to bury our mistakes, hide them from the light of day. So it's good for us to admit to our mistakes, because that definitely makes us better and allows us to learn more. And one of my favorite ways of learning is to read a bunch of books. I read 10 to 30 per month. I sometimes go back to some of the ones I've read in the past, but I am trying to expand my book list. So Karina, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe would have a positive impact on us.
Oh my goodness. I really have to think about that one. Because I guess for me personally, I read things that are around sort of self-empowerment and kind of using my own internal guidance. That's what's helped me the most. So my thing, you know, my book recommendations might sound a little woo-woo. And so I don't know if you want me to give those, but I can only think of one off the top of my head that I think it's called Finding Your Own North Star, by Martha Beck. And, there are a ton of exercises in there that help you get in touch with your own internal compass. And I think we're at a time right now, and I think younger people, you know, we always refer to them as millennials and younger, they have this inherent drive now where they are not going to accept necessarily if, you know, they're doing something and work where we're pouring our heart and soul into something, if it doesn't satisfy us in some way, and we'll, you know, they'll just move on. And I think we can really learn from that. And so, you know, if you're someone who's stuck, and you're not sure, you know, and maybe this goes for coaches and consultants too, who are, you know, burning the midnight oil because they're trying to grow their business and, you know, there are all these, you know, aspects to it and they get burned out. You know, is to really help you kind of stick with it and know kind of what I think we know internally and always about which way we should go. We just don't always listen to it because society tells us, well, you really should do this, or it's not a good time in, you know, in the economy right now. Well, is it? I mean, is that really true? I highly doubt it. If you're following your desire and that's all you can think about, you know, that's something we should follow and get in touch with. So I just believe we're the captain of our own ship, and there's no one else that should be telling us where we need to steer it, because we already know inside where we should be going.
Karina, thank you for that great book recommendation. And I do believe that we need to be the captain of our own ship, because if not, then someone else is going to steer our own ship, and we only have one life to live in. You don't want to live it trying to be someone else based on other people. So it's good that we do steer our ships as we go towards all the goals that we go after. And that book recommendation will be over at markaberti.com/E131, along with the show notes. And before we wrap up this episode, Karina, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you think is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
You know what I would say, it's kind of tied to that, is, you know, we talked about that there are just so many ways to build these funnels, and it can get really confusing about which is the right way, which is the formula. And I just don't think there's one way. I think that what's the beauty of it is there's so many experts out there talking about these different ways you can do it. And I think it's just important to find the one that resonates with you the most, that says, yes, this is the one that makes sense to me. This is the one that excites me. This one makes sense for my business. This one feels like I can do this, in a reasonable amount of time. I would say that let's just ask ourselves, are we following our passion? Because I just think that your passion, that's your drive, that is always leading you in the right direction. Sometimes even when it doesn't logically make sense, you might think, why am I going to this networking event that I can't not go? I really want to go, but this doesn't make sense. But you go anyway, and you meet someone who is somebody you need. You just don't know. So I think that's the question I would say, is always ask yourself, some of these decisions that you may need to make along your business, is this really supporting my passion? Like, is this helping me kind of lighting my excitement and helping me move forward? That's what I would say.
Karina, thank you for giving us that great question, food for thought, as we head towards the end of this episode. I'm very grateful for all of the insights you shared. And Breakthrough Success listeners, if you want to learn more about Karina, she has a really awesome free resource, 10 webinar tips that will change everything. That free download will be posted on the show notes at markdeberti.com/E131. So you can get your free copy of that. So you can get the webinar tips that will change everything. Karina, I cannot thank you enough for being a guest on the Breakthrough Success podcast. Thank you for sharing your insights with us today.
It was absolutely my pleasure. This was a lot of fun.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgoberti.com/retweet.